Blog Talk Radio.
Morning, Internet world. Welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and I want to say thank you so much once again for joining me on this broadcast, taking time out of your busy life to listen to The Cross in the Desert. Today is Thursday, April 1st. We are here, April Fool's Day. I promise no April Fool's jokes today. No jokes at all, because we're doing a very serious, in-depth, chronological look at the Book of Revelation. Now, last week, if you join me on the broadcast, we were describing what happens after the rapture of the church when Christ comes halfway down to the earth in the air. The dead are raised, and we which are alive and remain will be caught up with Christ to go away to the marriage supper of the Lamb in heaven. When that happens, that is Revelation chapter 4, the first two verses. Last week, I took some time to say, look, the rapture is going to take place before the Great Tribulation. I gave several reasons a couple of weeks ago on why I believe in a pre-trib rapture. You'll have to listen to that program to get the assessment of what I said. Now, last week, after the rapture, I described the church in heaven, that is the 24 elders worshiping the Lord in heaven. They represent the church taken out before the Great Tribulation. The next thing that occurred after the rapture was the judgment seat of Christ, a sober, serious time, not to determine our salvation, but to evaluate the works we as Christians done to receive rewards, and we were given crowns at that time. Then we were whisked away, Revelation chapter 19, to enjoy that 7 years of celebration with the Lord as the bride of Christ, enjoying that time of celebration with Jesus, our bridegroom. And then we came back, and that was at the time when we cast our crowns before the Lord in worship and adoration for who he is and everything we've done. It's all by his grace. And in chapter 5, we showed you that the Lamb took from the Father's hand that scroll, that judgment scroll, the title deed to the earth. And that's where we ended last week. Now you say, well, okay, that's what happens after the rapture of the church. But wait, there is more. What we're going to talk about this week is something very important. When we do a chronological tour of the book of Revelation, it is not expositionally verse by verse. It is taking the main topics, the main events, linking them together with the scriptures to give you a panoramic view from beginning to end of what is going to happen as taught in the book of Revelation. Now, this week, what I want to do is take a look at three separate layers of activities unfolding after the rapture and before the Great Tribulation period begins. Let me say that again. What we're going to look at today is three layers of activities that unfold after the rapture and before the tribulation period begins. You can say this is part two. We looked at last week what happens. We looked at the judgment seat, the marriage supper of the Lamb, and the Lamb taking the scroll from the Father's hand. Well, what is it then that needs to take place or be in place before the Great Tribulation? The first thing is the false church. Well, what is the false church? Well, let me tell you, the false church is located in Rome on the city of Seven Hills. And there is a very important description of this church, which will be predominant during that seven-year period. It will be, of course, attended by the Antichrist. He will have a religious system which comes out of the old false religious system from Babylonia or Babylon. And I want us to look at some of the characteristics of this false church. Revelation chapter 17, verse 4 says about this false church, "The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of abomination and the filthiness of her fornication. And on her forehead a name was written, quote, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and the abominations and of the abominations of the earth. I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her," John says, "I marveled with great amazement." This false church in Revelation chapter 17 is called a whore three times, the harlot one time, the woman six times. She's a non-virtuous, non-virgin woman as compared to the beautiful bride of Christ. And also this false church is called a beast nine times. So before the Great Tribulation begins, we're going to have activities at the false church, a church that says things about Jesus, but it preaches another Jesus, another gospel, and another spirit. This is what Paul was afraid of with the Corinthians church. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 to 14, Paul says, "I am so concerned for you, Corinthians, that you are so easily deceived as Eve was in the temptation. For if one comes and preaches another Jesus, another spirit, and another gospel, you bear with that so easily." The church needs discernment, but this church appears to be pure, but is really a whore, a harlot, and it is controlled by the beast, the Antichrist himself. Now, what I want to say about this church may offend a few people, but it's not meant to offend, but to educate and to bring to your attention some things about this church that we need to know. It was only just a few weeks ago that the Pope, that is Pope Francis, made a very surprise visit to Iraq. Now, Iraq, very interestingly, is the place where Saddam Hussein used to be the dictator years ago. And guess what Saddam Hussein was busy doing? Rebuilding, at that time, the ancient city of Babylon, which we find in Revelation chapter 18, will be the political city, the headquarters, if you will, of Francis goes into Iraq to bring the message of Christ. Well, you would think that's what his job was, but he was busy talking to Muslims and other religious persuasions and basically trying to unite all of these religions under the banner that we all are worshiping the same God and we all are brothers and sisters. Well, nothing could be further from the truth. Jesus made it very clear, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Muslims don't accept Christ as Lord and Savior. They deny he's God. They reject his deity, his crucifixion, his bodily resurrection. The Quran says that he was never crucified. So how can Muslims, if you will, and Catholics be worshiping the same God? Well, they cannot. In fact, years ago, Pope John Paul would invite fire worshipers, Buddhists, Hindus, voodoos, all of these different groups to the Vatican to celebrate our commonality that we all love and worship the same God. Well, again, that's blasphemous. Nothing could be further from the truth. So in Iraq, just a few weeks ago, Pope Francis was busy trying to unite all the religions. Well, folks, this is exactly what the Antichrist will do. And that's why the false church will be so allowing him to run the headquarters, if you will. They will be so accepting of him because that's what they believe. Jesus is uniquely not the way. There is no such thing as one absolute way to God. We are all part of God. We are all part of the God force, if you will. The false church is not promoting the gospel of Jesus Christ. So what we're seeing here, layer number one before the great tribulation period begins, is this false church. And it emerges out of the false religious Babylonian system. At the same time that the false church is being organized before the Great Tribulation, we have the emergence of the revived Roman Empire. If you visit the book of Daniel, chapters 2 and 7 in specific, you will see the statue in Daniel chapter 2 with the 10 toes. Now, I can't get into all the specifics, but later on in our study, I will dedicate some time to this. This is the revived Roman Empire that right before the tribulation is going to be energized and getting going and organized. It is the 10 nations, the 10 leaders of the European Union. We see that today. And the revived Roman Empire will produce the Antichrist. He is known as the little horn, Daniel chapter 7, which comes out of this revived Roman Empire. So what we have going here before the Great Tribulation begins is the false church being organized and energized, promoting a false gospel. She is a whore, a harlot, a beast, a woman, so many derogatory things as Revelation chapter 17 says. But if you go down now to verse number 12, in this vision that John is recording, the angel says the 10 horns which you saw are 10 kings who have received no kingdom as yet, but they received authority for 1 hour as kings with the beast. Revelation 17:12 is referencing Daniel chapter 2, describing this revived Roman Empire which will produce the Antichrist. He's going to be a Gentile, I'll believe, that's coming out of this revived Roman Empire system. That's the first layer, the false church, the revived Roman Empire. Layer number two is a very interesting layer, something that takes place before the Great Tribulation, is the two witnesses. Well, the two witnesses are these two individuals, probably Enoch and Elijah. They never tasted death. And they will minister from the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. They will be busy at that time preaching the gospel of the kingdom. They're going to be calling Jewish people to right now accept Yeshua, because very soon he will come back to earth and establish a 1,000-year reign, a millennial kingdom. So it's different than the gospel that we preach today. It's the same gospel with a different bent to it. The gospel we preach today is by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man boast. It's based on who Jesus is and what he accomplished for us by dying on the cross for our sins and rising again. This gospel of the kingdom is saying actually the same thing, but saying, look, Receive him now, because very soon you will have to receive him if you want to reign 1,000 years in this kingdom that he is bringing. So they are preaching the gospel of the kingdom at the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, and they will do this for 1,260 days, Revelation chapter 11, verse 3 says, and during that time, they will be converting 144,000 male virgin Jews, and you can find that in Revelation 14. This is very important, this second layer, because the two witnesses you will read in Revelation chapter 11, they will be killed, but then raised to life, and the whole world will just be astonished at this resurrection of these two witnesses who do tremendous miracles. The blunt of their ministry, though, is the conversion of these 144,000 male Jews who will be busy during the tribulation preaching. There will be great revival during the tribulation. People that have been left behind will come to faith in Christ because of their faithful ministry. These are 144,000 male virgin Jews out of the 12 tribes, and they will be busy preaching. Now, one thing we know about these Jews, Revelation chapter 7, verse 3, very clear instructions to the angels blowing the trumpets of judgment. Do not harm the earth or the sea or the trees until we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads. So the tribulation period cannot begin until the 144,000 male virgin Jews have the seal of God placed on their forehead. So the second layer is very exciting. It is the ministry of the two witnesses at the Temple Mount in Jerusalem for 1,260 days or 3.5 years, and they will convert 144,000 male virgin Jews who will minister during the Great Tribulation period, and they cannot begin the tribulation period until they first have been sealed. Then that can begin. That's very, very important. Now, the last layer that we want to talk about this morning, since we finished chapters 4 and 5 last week, the last layer is Revelation chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. And we're going to read that right now. And John, remember, has been transported up into heaven to see the throne room of God, the rapture of the church, Revelation 4:1, he is there witnessing the Lamb taking the scroll from the Father's hand. And now finally, in Revelation chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, here's what John writes. Now I watched the Lamb opened one of the seven seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures say with a voice like thunder, come. And I looked, and behold, a white horse. And its rider had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he came out conquering and to conquer. Now, very, very important. In Revelation 19, we see Christ returning on a white horse. Some erroneously say that this white horse in Revelation 6 is Jesus riding through the tribulation of the suffering church, and he's with us. No. Notice the description when the Lamb opens the first seal, Revelation 6. These are judgment seals. He unleashes not the Lamb riding the horse. He unleashes the Antichrist. Very important. The term Antichrist means in opposition to and or in place of. So he is a counterfeit Messiah, that is the Antichrist. He opposes and exalts himself above everything that is called God, but he is one that loves to deceive. He is a false Messiah. The Antichrist is unleashed when the Lamb opens the first seal. Notice that he is on a white horse. That's deception because he's imitating Christ. He had a bow. Well, what's this? A bow. What's a bow? It doesn't have any arrows. It doesn't have any method to fight. And a crown was given to him. Well, Christ is already King of Kings and Lord of Lords. No crown needs to be given to him. It says of him, he goes out to conquer and to conquer. So this is what most scholars believe, and I believe, is the Antichrist. And when this happens, this is the trigger that begins the seven-year period. You'll notice that what I've said so far is everything that will have to happen before the Great Tribulation begins. Well, what's interesting is, and I just want to spend just a couple of minutes on this, the characteristics of the Antichrist. Well, he comes from among the ten kings in the restored Roman Empire. He is different from every other king. He will speak boastfully. The Antichrist will blaspheme God, slandering his name, and he will oppose the saints and for 3.5 years be successful. And he will confirm a covenant with the many, that is the Jewish people, in Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. It will probably involve the establishment of a Jewish temple in Jerusalem, but notice what Daniel 9 says. He will put an end to Jewish sacrifice and offerings after 3.5 years and set up an abomination to God in the restored, rebuilt temple in Jerusalem. So those are a few things about the Antichrist I just wanted to mention in passing, because I'm not going to teach on that specifically on this program. But what I want to say again and reiterate is these three layers that happened before the tribulation that we've talked about today, the false church, the two witnesses, the emergence of the revived Roman Empire, the 144,000 converted male virgin Jews, and then we have the Lamb opening the first seal to release or unleash to begin the Great Tribulation period. That's what's going to happen after the rapture of the church. And we're going to talk more about this on next Thursday. But right now, I invite you to listen to this song by The Cry. It's all about what we've been saying today. Jesus is coming soon.
In the year of 1918, a man faced a mighty disease, killing many a thousand on the land and on the sea. We've been told God has warned us, Jesus is coming soon. We've been told God has warned us, Jesus is coming soon. Yeah. The Lord and pray. We've been told God is
What a perfect song for our teaching today from the group called The Cry, Jesus is Coming Soon. The very next event on the horizon is the rapture of the church. It is imminent, which means it can happen at any time. There are no signs, if you will, for the rapture of the church. There are plenty of signs for the second coming of Christ, and I talked about that in detail a couple of programs to go. The important question I have for you today, since we know Jesus is coming soon for the pre-tribulational rapture of the church, are you ready? Is your life in order? Have you confessed Christ as your Lord and Savior? Do you know him? This is Easter week. This is a perfect time for you that have been sitting on the fence to come to know Christ as your Lord and Savior. To know him as Savior and Lord is the most important life-transforming decision you will ever make. And you come to him, you confess to him your sinfulness, that you're poor in spirit, that you need help, that you need to know him in a personal way. And he will come into your heart through invitation when you call out to him and to forgive you and to come and live as Lord and Savior in your heart. I hope that these programs will not only educate you and inform you, but will persuade you to know the whole meaning of the book of Revelation, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the reason why I love this book so much, because it's all about him. It's all about his work on the cross, his death, his burial, his resurrection, that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I want to thank you so much for joining me today. I will see you again on the Cross in the Desert on Monday at 9:30. Have yourself a blessed Easter weekend.